X-15, number 2A.
Just for the sake of understanding each other, I have to take in, say, symbolisms from the material world in order to indicate the nature of divine cybernetics, just as Jesus taught through symbolisms of the material world, with animals and plants and so on. I want to take a few examples of cybernetics. Now, the most simple example of cybernetics has been constructed and used all over the world before one was aware that it was cybernetics. Namely, if you have a steam engine and then you have a so-called governor on every steam engine, which has the office that if the steam pressure goes too high, that it lifts automatically a safety valve and the steam goes out, and it goes out as long as the steam pressure is too high, and the moment the steam pressure falls back to a certain level, this that governor closes again, you see, and then stays closed until again the steam pressure goes higher, and then it opens again. Now, can you see that this is a self-regulating, self-operative gadget, so to say? That's a mechanically a cybernetic system. Because at the beginning, actually, when they had a steam engine or boiler, you had to have a man standing there watching the pressure. And when the pressure got too high, he had to open somewhere a safety valve or whatever you call it. My language here is not good enough. And so long until the pressure got low. So there was a man standing there, and if that boiler was at work for 24 hours, you needed three men to stand there, just doing, watching, and then doing something. Until one invented what is called that governor, and governor is the French version of cybernetics, that has the same root of word, invented that governor, and so you could send those three men at home for another job and just let that governor think for the men. It was thinking. Because that mechanical governor did give informations backward and forward. And that's something one hasn't realized until very, very recently. And if I have time, I will show you that on this very point rests a completely new logic, which breaks the logic of the old Greek completely and brings a completely new logic in. But at this very moment, I just want to state that to wake up thought, you see, to see that there are material things which act intelligently by themselves. It opens and closes according to what is programmed. Now, this is a cybernetic system, you see. It has a captain which says, I want to have so and so much pressure in it, steam pressure in it. It has a programmer which says, when the steam pressure gets over this and this pressure, then the helmsman must open the valve, and when it goes back, he must close it. And so this thing goes on and fulfills its purpose. Now, let's take another symbol of a cybernetic system in the technical world, and that is something most of you may have at home and use at home. That's a thermostat. A thermostat, you know what I mean? you are the captain and you say, I want to have so and so many degrees in my room, and you put the thermostat on that degree, and then if you like, you can leave it for a whole year there. Then you are sure that always that temperature is in your room. The moment the temperature gets too high, the thermostat begins to make click, and by making click, it gives an information to the firing, to the furnace, you see, to the furnace, and says stop for a while. You see, when the temperature gets below a certain point, it makes click again and says start with the furnace again, and no human brain is there, and yet information goes to and fro. It's a constantly feeding of information and a feeding back of information without the human intelligence, without the human brain. And it works perfectly. That's the cybernetic system you have at home. You have another cybernetic system with your own body, a very complicated cybernetic system. For instance, one of the cybernetic systems we have with our body is that we work for a while and then suddenly we feel, oh, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting hungry. Who gives that information? Suddenly the body gives you that information because, now I'm not the medical man, I don't know anything about physiology, but you know that apparently the body has in its actions and reactions and chemical productions come to a point where it says, I need more energy to get me going again, and therefore gives an information and to the brain and says, your brain say to the man, he must eat now. And so we begin to eat and eat until there comes a point where we say, I have enough. Why do I say I have enough? Because the whole system has a feedback of information which says, now that's plenty. I'm all right again. I'm now again in my equilibrium. I can go on again like that. It goes on like that for another few hours, and then the information comes in again and says, now I run out of energy. Give me some more energy. And you begin to eat again. So, the whole body, you see, is a self-acting system with self-information. We don't think, well, naturally sometimes you think it's 12 o'clock, I better get a lunch. But if we wouldn't have a clock, there would come a time where something tells us, I'm hungry. And says, oh well, if I'm hungry, what shall I do? Well, I have to eat. If I eat, there comes suddenly a point where it says, now that's enough, stop it. Well, that's going on as a biological system which has a constant intercourse of information, a feeding of information, a feedback of information. And naturally, the moment we eat too much, we have an interference factor. We have an interference factor. We get out of equilibrium. You see? And so the body again says, stop, there is something gone wrong, you see. And the body finds itself, again, the equilibrium through its own organization. If naturally one goes too far and overstresses everything, then you can have a real disease. And then quite a different cybernetic system comes in. There we know, then a mental cybernetic system must set in. That by consciousness and the right consciousness, we can see that the body cannot control us, but that the mental controls the physical. And so we put together the, so to say, the mental cybernetic system with the bodily cybernetic system. If you take it over to the chart, to Christian Science, then you can see Well, there is a cybernetic system on the level of Christian Science and one of the level of absolute Christian Science, and through the interchange of that we heal. Or you can take the cybernetic system, say, of an animal, say of a bee. A bee wants to find honey. Well, there comes perhaps a bee back to the beehive and says, I found a wonderful field of flowers with lots of honey. You go there. How does the bee tell the other bee where to go and how far, which direction? Well, in the bee apparently there is built in a, what we could call, a geometrical cybernetic system. Apparently the bee shows through science to the other bee in which angle to the sun the bee has to fly and in what distance it has to fly. It informs the bee through geometrical information where to go. And so the bee that gets that information goes off, all the bees goes off and just swarm towards that exactly according to the angle of the sun, which must constantly be readjusted because with every distance the angle gets a bit different. Then perhaps the bee comes to a farmhouse and it has to go out of the way. It has to go to the right or to the left or over the top, and it has to feed back his own information and says, now I got right out of scheme. What is now the angle? The angle to the sun and the angle to the field, and how far? Because I have had to go further round and therefore make a detour. How far is now the distance? All that operates within the bee as a self-informing geometrical cybernetic system. And so today, cybernetics is seen in everything you can think of. You can see the cybernetics, say, in a Shakespeare's play. And with cybernetics, you can define if a poem is by Cicero or Shakespeare or Goethe. By cybernetics, you can define if a play is by Beethoven or Mozart or Brahms. Because each one has its own way of presenting what he presents. And through the cybernetic system you can define that. In other words, cybernetic, that's the point now I want to bring out through the symbolism. Cybernetic works in every field. In the material field, in the biological field, in the psychological field, in the mental field. It works in the literal field, in the art field. You have already cybernetic art, cybernetic music. It works in every field. Therefore, it isn't a science next to all the other sciences and arts. It is something which embraces all. Science, arts, religion, everything embraces all as the ground. Science, if we can call it, they like to call it a proto-science or an integral science. They like it also to call the bridge between all the sciences, because they just don't know what to call it, because perhaps it is not the science, because perhaps it is something which is deeper than science, because it is the depth or the ground, the basis of everything. Of everything. And that's what I feel, therefore, is so important to see, that in the field of science and human thinking, consciousness has touched now something which is not just applicable to one department of science, to physics or to biology or to chemistry or to theology or to physiology or to astronomy or to mathematics. Has touched now something which forms a consciousness which is much deeper in its basis, much foundational in its basis, And it's a question, shall we call it a science or not a science? Let's call it cybernetics. Okay. So, because in many ways, cybernetics has not the characteristics of a science. Because each other science you have to operate. You have to operate mathematics, you have to operate physics. This is self-operating, and is self-informing, and is self-organizing. And so, can you see that here we are going to touch something which covers all stratas of human experience, or of human awareness, from the material up to the spiritual, and says, here is one thing that covers all, which can no more be dissected into various sectors. It's here we have found the underlying thing of everything. Therefore, it works on all fields of science, on all levels of consciousness. And so we again see how that chart, you see, is the, what one says, a model of divine cybernetics. It is working on all levels. That chart, that consciousness touches the infinite one, right down to the material belief. And it shows the self-operation of this one divine principle, not only the self-operation, not only the self-information, but also shows all those circuits in it, namely the self-regulation, the error-excluding activity, the error-correcting activity, the error-self-excluding activity and the error-self-correcting activity of the system. It's no more, you see, just as with the governor, instead of having three people there watching that, you leave it and it works. And so in divine science we begin to see, let's take away all people and let the one divine principle do what it is doing, because it's self-operating. And so we get rid of the people, the universe, as that which has to do something, which has to demonstrate something, which has to reflect something, which has to achieve something. Get it out of the way. It's the one principle governing itself. So perhaps we could call divine cybernetics, I have written it down this morning, so to say, as that one being with built-in self-organizing systems. It's the one being with built-in self-organizing systems running on a self-regulating spiritual circuit, perhaps like that. Just for the moment, you see. Say it again. That at this moment, not next year, I would say that divine cybernetics deals with that one being with built-in self-organizing systems running on a self-regulating circuit. Actually, you could go on enlarging that definition, you see, and say that self-regulating circuit is self-excluding error and self-correcting error. Then you take in absolute Christian science and Christian science. So that's why perhaps that man said, gave that title, nobody knows what cybernetics is, because it involves so much that it is very difficult to take into the definition all the main aspects of it. No, I have no time to do that. I just, well, Jesus, yes, all right. But as I said, you can have the tapes of this last summer school in Brownwell. Just to show that Mrs. Eddy had that concept that science is not just, that divine science is not just one science and all the other science is error. That's error. She writes there in Miscellany in 226, you know, I don't have the exact text right here, that from that there is one principle of all sciences, and that God is the cause of all the principle of harmonious vibration, the principle of a conservation of numbers, the principle of the inclined plane. Can you see? She didn't say geometry, physics is error. She said the divine principle which I discovered, which is God, is the principle of everything. It's the principle of the harmonious vibration, not of error. The principle of the conservation of numbers. It's the principle of the inclined plane. It's that holds the earth in its orbit. Astronomy, gravitation. That commands the waves and the wind. And marks the sparrow's fall. Biology takes in there all the various sciences and said there is only one principle ruling there. It's only a matter of right interpretation that we see that we have only one universe and not the diverse. If we don't know the principle and look out from principle, we will always have a dualistic universe. But if we look out from principle, then we see that whatever happens is the outcome of one principle. So, the cybernetics really can show us that it is moving, so to say, in all levels of experience and doesn't exclude a single one. Now, can you see, that's what youth today feels, that unity. To come together, not to have separateness, a sense of universality. It's all a feeling that comes from the divine idea. It's not the young people who are doing something better or are doing something new. It's the divine idea that is precipitating itself on mankind, young and old. But the youth is more receptive for something new than perhaps the old who are in their ruts. But it's the divine idea. So let's look at the youth problem, not as a youth problem, as the problem of a new idea coming. And naturally bringing up and up and up that which needs to be destroyed, but also establishing that and that which is new and which brings the whole world forward. All right, now, you could see now, because Miss Benger said, well, is the chart then divine cybernetics? Yes, there you have on the chart, you have the four, you see, the captain, the navigator, and the steerman, and the rudder, the four, where Christ, Christianity, and science. You have on that chapter different levels of altitude, just as cybernetics says, I work on every level of existence, in the physical, in the biological, in the mental, in the psychological. I work everywhere. Nothing is excluded. And this chart shows the self-regulating circuit, because we have seen that the world leads finally to science, and science again back to the world. It has a spiritual circuit on each level. It has that it forewarns error, namely through the level of absolute Christian science, which handles latent error, and it is the self-correcting maybe on the level of Christian Science, which heals and corrects and puts things straight. All right. Now, let me take another subject. And that is, I said, if there comes up on the human plane the question of cybernetics, then it is only because behind it must push the divine idea of cybernetics. Therefore, that cybernetics is idea. Now, right at the beginning of this weekend, I said, it's very difficult to explain what idea is. You remember? But I just can't say, well, idea is this, and then we have a real good concept. And now I come back to that statement and want to show that idea, as used by Mrs. Eddy, idea, is really the idea of cybernetics, or I would say a cybernetic idea. Therefore, idea includes all that what cybernetics teaches us. Idea, therefore, is so vast that it must be, if it could be defined, would have to be defined through the whole chart. Through the whole chart. Because all the classifications on that chart we have seen are cybernetic classifications, and therefore the idea of cybernetic would have to be explained through the whole chart. You know what I mean? Let me show you that. Haven't you ever been cross with Mrs. Eddy? I have. Just for a while, you know, just to let the steam off. To get back into balance again, into equilibrium. Why doesn't Mrs. Eddy define her terms like idea, like Christ? You say, well, she does, yes, but she does define Christ, for instance, in so many ways that you don't know what she really means now. If I want to know what she means by Christ, I have to go to the Concordance and I have to look up all those hundreds of references on the Christ, and I find that these references are not at all on the same point. And I wonder, does that woman know what she means by the Christ? See? Now let me take idea. When Mrs. Eddy talks about idea, she says, Christ is the divine idea. So I say, all right. And if I want to know what the idea is, she says, Christ is the idea. So I don't know much more now. I just have exchanged one term idea for another term Christ. So what I can do is go and say, all right, and I take all the references on Christ and see what she says. What does she say? Say. Let me just pick out a few in order to show two things. In order to show how very different her definitions are on the Christ. So different that an ordinary human being can't see that should mean the same thing. And second, in order to show that, therefore, Christ cannot be defined through a definition, just as cybernetics cannot be described through one definition. That Christ, as idea, has just as many categories, horizontal and vertical, as the chart has. For instance, I pick out just a few, hand-picked, for my purpose, very well prepared, you know, statements of the Christ. And you can see how she would perhaps define the Christ on the level of divine science and say, Christ, the divine spirit. She defines Christ with a synonymous term as the whole, divine spirit. She calls Christ the spirit of God, of life, truth, and love.
see, what we have on the level of divine science, life, truth, and love. He says it's the divine spirit, the spirit of life, truth, and love. You say, all right, that's fine, yes. Now I get good knowledge what the Christ is. It's the spirit of life, truth, and love. She even says Christ expresses God's spiritual nature. Well, I said, yes, somehow I can fathom that.